Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 128, all about electrolytes, part one. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Now let's talk about electrolytes. Recently, a friend training for her first marathon asked about the options for electrolytes during her race. When I started writing, I expected the explanation would take a couple of hundred words, but when I got into it, I realized I actually had quite a lot more that I could say about that, and I realized it would be a good idea, a good topic for a podcast. So here we are. Few decisions you make, whether for a long training run or a long race, are more critical than those having to do with electrolyte consumption. What, when, how? There's so much to think about. You've got many decisions and almost infinite choices, more than most people realize. But before we get to that, I want to announce a special offer from my Run Tampa Club t-shirt supplier, Mike Phillips. His company, Event Tech, supplies all those great-looking bright yellow shirts you may have seen on my Run Tampa Club members. I love that vivid yellow color. It really stands out. But of course, Mike has many colors and styles that he offers. They arrive already printed, and the turnaround time is excellent. Plus, Mike is really easy to work with. I love the product, the price is great, and he makes it easy. Now he's making it easy for you. From October 20th through November 20th, he's offering a special on orders of 300 or more of four styles of shirts, two men's and two women's. To see them, just click on the Event Tech ad on my homepage on Mojo for Running or Run Tampa websites. And I'll have a link in the show notes. For a three-color front and one-color back, the price is just $4.90 each with a 300-shirt order between October 20th and November 20th. Free shipping and no other fees apply. Now let's talk about electrolytes. I've discussed in many prior episodes that you very likely don't need to consume anything but water unless you plan to be out there for more than an hour, and probably not unless you're out there more than 90 minutes. But when you are out there longer, you'll likely be looking for more, and the longer the run, the more you need in the way of water, nutrition, and electrolytes. Now, I've done whole episodes on, or a whole episode on hydration. If you haven't listened to it, that was episode number 116, Hydration for Long Runs and the Goldilocks Principle. If you have not listened to that, that is, you know, how much you hydrate is absolutely critical. So please be sure that's one of the top five episodes I've ever done. So if you haven't heard that one, I suggest that you make sure you listen to it. Then there's also nutrition, by which I mean fuel. And then there's also electrolytes. That's my focus of today, electrolytes. And it's real important to me that you realize that, you know, as far as what you consume, there's hydration, so that's water. There's nutrition, that's what you're consuming in order to have some fuel. And number three, electrolytes. But then there's also actually number four, vitamins and minerals, which may be thrown into any of the above. So think of all those things. But electrolytes are salts and minerals that conduct electrical impulses in the body. Your cells will not function normally without the normal or the correct balance of electrolytes. When your electrolyte balance is off, you're in trouble. You may just have a lousy run. And I think it's critical that you realize that. People have lousy runs all the time. And so often they get really upset trying to figure out what caused the lousy run. And I hear them very often talking about maybe they didn't get enough nutrition. And I'm going to talk about that in a podcast very soon. But I think very often they don't even think about electrolytes. It could just as likely be that their electrolyte balance is off, that they're short on electrolytes, and that's what they need. That's what they need to worry about correcting. So electrolytes are what we're going to talk about today. Anyway, you may just have a bad run if your electrolytes are off. But that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, people can actually die because so many of your body functions depend on electrolytes. So that's why in the medical tent at marathons, for example, they go to great lengths to assess whether you're overhydrated, underhydrated, or if your electrolytes are off. And of course, if you're underhydrated or overhydrated, it all works together. To be more specific, electrolytes assist fluid in passing into and out of cells in your body. Here's a more complete definition from the website Medical News Today. Electrolytes are chemicals that conduct electricity when mixed with water. They regulate nerve and muscle function, hydrate the body, balance blood acidity and pressure, and help rebuild damaged tissue. Okay, so that kind of gives you an idea of just how critical these are. The main four are sodium, magnesium, potassium, and calcium. Now let's look at each one of those individually. Sodium is normally most abundant in extracellular fluids. So of all of those, that's the most abundant there. Sodium, when combined with chloride, is just table salt. Sodium regulates the total amount of water in the body and the transmission of sodium into and out of cells, and plays a role in many other body processes. Because so much depends on sodium level, obviously it's critical to maintain a normal level. Magnesium. This is critical for muscle contraction. It delivers oxygen and calcium to the cells. Potassium. That regulates the heartbeat and muscle function. Everybody knows calcium is critical for strong bones and teeth, but it is also essential for muscle contraction, normal heart rhythm, and blood clotting. Other electrolytes are chloride, bicarbonate, phosphate, and sulfate. When your electrolytes get out of balance, you might experience muscle cramps or poor performance. I've read that there's sketchy evidence that electrolyte problems are the cause of muscle cramps, but I can tell you this. If I stop taking my electrolytes, I always get cramps. So there it is. Not scientific at all, just personal experience. This also particularly happens to me at night. A lot of people get cramps at night. I do very often, mainly with me, it's magnesium. If I don't take a magnesium supplement late in the day, I will. Not sometimes, but always get a cramp during the night or two or three. I actually have a tin that I keep next to the bed. And if I wake up with a cramp, I have a glass of water there. I take a magnesium pill and I don't get any more cramps. But if I get a cramp and I don't do that, 30 minutes later, I'll get another cramp. So maybe that's just me. Maybe it happens to a lot of people, but at least right then and there, which is not when I'm running, but definitely the electrolytes matter, have an impact. So I share that story because there's no question in my mind as to whether or not they come into play. Now, I don't usually get cramps when I run, and some people do. So my recommendation is read a lot of research, read as many articles as you can, see what you can find out. But even if you don't ever have an issue with cramping ever, it's certainly your electrolyte levels impact your performance in every race and in every run. You need them to be optimal, if at all possible. And that's one thing I hope you'll be better prepared to do to maintain them at optimal levels after you finish hearing this podcast and the next one. Yes, I'm doing two episodes because there is actually that much to discuss about electrolytes. Of course, a critical element of the equation for anyone is being properly hydrated. But beyond that, if you're performing intense exercise for more than an hour or exercising at an easier pace for longer than 90 minutes, you'll likely be sweating more, and thus you'll need to look at your electrolyte levels. Keep in mind that it's not the exercising, but the sweat loss that causes you to need to replace electrolytes. Muscle cramping is a major issue for many people, and I'll likely do a whole episode about that one. But if you're in good condition, then I would look at hydration and your electrolyte situation. My advice is to always look into your electrolytes as a possible cause of cramping. It most certainly is involved in the issues of cramping, but I'm not sure it's always as simple to correct as just consuming more electrolytes. However, that's the easiest place to start. I've worked with people who experienced cramping, and that was the answer. However, I've worked with people who tried every recommended solution for cramping and couldn't find anything that worked. But again, that's I'll probably do another episode to talk about cramping because there's a lot to that. For example, in recent years, we've learned that the gut biome impacts virtually every body system. If your gut is messed up, your body may not digest effectively and it may interfere with lots of other processes in the body. So I hope there'll be a lot more research. I know there's a lot of ongoing research into the impact that your gut biome has on everything. And for all we know, we may determine that that has something to do with cramping. I don't know. But again, I promise you, I'll look into that and try to present that information later. My guess that it's either that if somebody gets a cramp, it's either that some people are predisposed to cramping under certain conditions, or it has something to do with some other element of their diet or fitness or hormonal imbalance or any number of things, including the gut biome. But again, that's for another podcast. How much runners need of all four of the main electrolytes that I mentioned depends a lot on the individual. And even beyond that, what any individual needs will vary from run to run, depending on the weather and the duration of the event, because that will determine how much that particular runner sweats. Many people also are on keto diets these days, and these individuals will need even more fluids and more electrolytes. I know that from personal experience. So think about that. Now let's recap the quantity of electrolytes you might need, when you might need them, and exactly what proportion depends on these factors. One, the weather on that day here in Florida in the summer, it could easily be 90 degrees with 80% humidity. Obviously, the same person is going to sweat more than if they were in a climate that was much more moderate. Two, your individual body chemistry. If three different people's sweat is analyzed, the results will be quite individual, and this determines what these people need to consume. That's why a rule of thumb is a bad idea. If all three people sweated the same amount, it still doesn't mean that they would need to consume exactly the same proportion and amount of electrolytes and at the same frequency. Have you ever run with someone, and after the run, you have salt crusted on your shorts and shirt? That's because you sweated out a lot of salt. But maybe the person next to you, also dripping with sweat, doesn't have any salt residue on their clothes. That's because you are sweating, different amounts of salt are coming out in the sweat. You're losing it at a different rate. Three, duration of the run. If you're out there 90 minutes or less, and you started the run with your electrolytes in balance, then you probably should, you're just fine. Number four, what you consumed in the way of food before the run and what you consume in the way of nutrition while you're running will impact what your body needs. Because of course, some foods that you might consume have electrolytes in them. Everybody knows that bananas have a lot of potassium, for example. Number five, what you need to consume may depend on individual health issues such as high blood pressure or diabetes. Some people have been told to reduce sodium intake, and this may affect electrolyte choice and especially electrolyte replacement choice, and the people on keto diets will need more electrolytes. I have a friend who has Graves' disease. And still, for her, she can still run, but she has to consume. She's been told by her endocrinologist to consume much more, an extra amount of electrolytes during the day before she ever goes out to run. So all those things come into play. Another consideration is the form of the electrolyte. Ask yourself, how will you carry your electrolyte replacement? Many companies make powders or tablets to be dissolved in water. This is neither good nor bad, but it will impact your decision because if you want to use this product, you'll need to carry water bottles. Whereas if you use capsules, gels, jelly beans, blocks, bars, or real food, you only need a way of carrying that. but you won't need to carry your hydration. This is the difference between needing to wear a hydration belt or hydration pack and not needing to do so, which is a big consideration. Tablets that need to be dissolved in water are fine for runners already carrying water bottles, but some people much prefer to run without carrying or wearing any bottles. Also, if you plan to dissolve tablets in water, you have to be sure you have access to water along the route. If it's a race, that won't be an issue. But if you're out for a long solo run, this may require different planning. I, for example, don't want to carry anything in my hand or wear anything around my waist when I run. I'm comfortable wearing a hydration pack on my back, but when I do that, I'm drinking through a tube that comes from the bladder in the pack, and I really don't want to put anything but water in that bladder because that would make it much more difficult to clean. Many manufacturers' products come in powder form, requiring mixing before you start the run, which is a bit more of a hassle than the tablets, but many people use powder electrolyte mix all the time, so maybe that's just fine. Another option would be capsules. You'll find them at most running and cycling stores, as well as online. These are easy to carry in a pocket or a small pack. A consideration here is that in hot climates or due to dampness from sweat or rain or humidity, they can actually dissolve while in your pack. This is pretty easily prevented, though, by either putting them in a small pill container or wrapping them in foil, which is what I do, or putting them in a snack-size plastic bag. Lots of options. Other options are blocks, gels, and beans. These are easy to carry and pop in your mouth, but do always read the labels. Make sure they don't have anything in them that you wouldn't want to consume. This is true of all electrolyte products. Keep an eye out for dyes, preservatives, artificial flavoring, and natural flavoring. Remember, if they put natural flavoring on there, that means that they don't want to tell you what they put in there. If it's a natural flavoring that they think you will approve of, they're going to tell you exactly what it is. Would you walk down the street and pick anything, any leaf off of any plant and eat it? Well, it's all natural, but you know a lot of those things would make you sick. There's all kinds of poison ivy's natural. There are all kinds of natural things in the universe that you would never want to consume. So I personally would advise not to eat anything with natural and certainly not with artificial flavoring. I wouldn't do that. Or with any unidentifiable chemicals. If there is something in there that you can't identify, look it up. You know, some of the times, I mean, everything is a chemical of some type, but it could be natural. I mean, all of our foods could be divided up into chemical names, I guess. But so just look it up. If you don't identify what it is, it's easy to go online. It'll take you 30 seconds, maybe less, to find out exactly what that is. And of course, I would think that you would want to avoid any artificial sweeteners. That just kind of goes without saying. But anyway, to me, when I look at them, and I'll get more into this in part two, one of the biggest things differentiating one product from the other is whether it includes ingredients that I would find totally unacceptable. There's no valid rule of thumb for how much fluid to consume and how often. And the same goes for electrolytes. But you can learn a lot. My advice is to read some articles by experts and do not just base your choice on a company's ads. Although I will say that some companies' websites do have good information because they do have experts to help them formulate products that work. But some brands are mostly just hype. So do your research. There are some really great brands out there. Everyone wants it to be easy. It's not hard, but you do have to pay attention. Don't just grab any old product off the grocery shelf. I would never do that. I seldom buy electrolyte beverages at the grocery store, except for one product, which I'll talk about next time, that I do really like. Start by trying a few respected brands with a good collection of the main electrolytes and with none of the ingredients you want to avoid. My advice is not to combine your nutrition, electrolytes, and hydration either. The thing is that you need to dial in each of those three things. And for long runs, like for marathon training, you need to get it spot on. This is not the place to be carefree or careless. Have you ever had a really crappy 20-mile run, 16-mile run, 18-mile run? Just think about that. If you could correct it or prevent it wouldn't you? So keep nutrition, electrolytes, and hydration separate, and then you can work on each variable separately. It's more efficient and just makes more sense to me. You most certainly can dial it in to the point of almost an exact science using yourself as an N equals one. And in this case, you must do this. You must use every long training run as an opportunity to analyze the effect of what you consume, how much and when and how well it worked. Every run is an experiment. And as you proceed toward your race goal, you should be able to fine-tune both fluid consumption and electrolyte timing, composition, and form. Don't get too comfortable, though. It might seem that you have it just right. You have a perfect or at least a good run, feeling great as regards strength. You have no muscle cramps, etc. So you say to yourself, I've got it. That amount, frequency, and product was perfect. Then you go out the next week for a long run, and the wheels fall off at 8 miles in, even though you consumed exactly the same thing. This might happen for a variety of reasons, but over time, you will get a very good idea of what to do, what to consume, and when, and then it'll almost always work. You'll still have a dreadful run once in a while, but you'll know it wasn't because of the electrolytes that you consumed. Always, always focus on each variable and adjust. But at least if you consume your electrolytes separately from everything else, you'll know what you need under certain conditions. I've heard veteran runners, and interestingly, non-veteran runners, even new runners, give advice as if they're absolutely positively sure they have the precise prescription for other runners. That's ridiculous. It really is funny when someone who does 5Ks or 10Ks, or who has maybe done one half or one full, or someone who's only been running a few months, tells other runners what they need to consume, whether it's in the way of water or electrolytes or nutrition. That's just crazy. I mean, it's ridiculous, but yet it is pervasive. I get that every runner wants to help all other runners. That's the way runners are. But it's important for the experienced runner to explain some options that may work and not imply that there's only one right answer. It's okay to say this is what I do and it works for me, but they should include when they talk to the new runner, but that's not necessarily going to be right for you. I just want to give you some insight. That's the thing to do. When a runner gives advice to a newbie, the newbie may take it as gospel and implement it and get into big trouble. And because an experienced runner said it was so, they can go on for months without ever going back and considering that maybe that wasn't good advice or maybe not good advice for them. Okay, I'm actually going to stop here for this episode for the content about electrolytes because there's still a lot to talk about. So I'm going to break this into two episodes. I'll continue in the next episode. And in the meantime, if you have any questions, please send them along. A few people have made donations via the website since I resumed the podcast. Thank you. I hope many more will consider doing so. I'm just being honest here. It will make a difference in the frequency and future of this podcast. Also, did you know that if you listen to podcasts on your iPhone with the built-in podcast app, you can now click a number of stars to rate this podcast right there in the app under the podcast header. You used to have to log into iTunes to do that, but no more. So now you can actually rate this podcast in the time frame of about 3 seconds. So I'd love it if more people would do that. There are many, many, this podcast has been downloaded over 800,000 times, but I only have 300 and something reviews. So it would mean a lot to me to see that number of reviews bump up quite a lot, like to a few thousand, which should be reasonable with that number of downloads. I hope you'll also follow me on Instagram. I am posting at Run Tampa, and sometimes I also post in the at Mojo for Running account. Now, as I record this, it's mid-October. That means the New York City Marathon is right around the corner. If you're going to be in town for the marathon and you happen to be there on the Wednesday before the race, there will be a special showing of our documentary film, The Human Race, at the New York City Marathon Pavilion in Central Park. The amazing Catherine Switzer will be on hand to introduce it along with executive producer Liz Vassy. I should have more details about that soon, and I'll post them on the Mojo for Running Facebook page. Remember to check out Mike Phillips for race shirts if you are a race director. I'll have this link and lots of links to articles about electrolytes in the show notes. Now, today's quote. This is from Kristen Armstrong. As I get older, I see that running has changed me. What used to be about burning calories is now more about burning up what is false. Lies I used to tell myself about who I was and what I do, friendships that cannot withstand hills or miles, the approval I no longer need to seek, and solidarity that cannot bear silence. I run to burn up what I don't need and ignite what I do.